Everybody hold up your PowerPoint slides this morning.
Yes.
Brother John Uters asked me, he said, "Where's your screen?" I said, "Right here." Okay. I was going to stop at Radio Shack on the way down here and get a clicker that when I clicked it, your Bible would just open up to the right place. They said try Best Buy for that, and they didn't have one, so. I want to mind the Lord very quickly this morning. I've got my PowerPoint slides here, and I'm going to go through them. So you're going to have to turn real fast, kind of like we do those Bible drills. Get ready. All right. And if I say turn to so and so, and you're the first one that gets there, then you get a free video off our table back here. Well, yeah, they can. They can have. You can have all you want. Jeremiah 7, verse 8. Charge. Free video. Okay. Just one verse here. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 8. Behold, ye trust in lying words that cannot profit. That sign over there. I love that. Okay. I'm going to talk about the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, turn there. God showed me this last night while Brother Billy was preaching. While he was preaching, I was daydreaming. Studying. I looked down from where he was preaching from last night. 2 Timothy 2:15, and God kind of showed me something there. God has given us a ministry. Number one, of being a watchman ministry, and that's what we call it.
Yes, Lord.
And I read things that, number one, I don't encourage you to read. Number two, you probably wouldn't get into it the way I do novels, but on mystery religion, things like that, and I study that. And I'm able to spot things now that are going on. When I see things going on in the churches right now, I got it. I can spot it. And we've put out a lot of information in the last 2 years, and I've got trained spotters all over the world, and boy, they'll send me a picture of something. They'll go in the store and they'll see something and they'll take a picture of it and send it to me, and they'll say, "Brother Mike," and I say, "Yeah, that's, you know, I know what that is." And commercials that come on TV, things that are in films, TV shows, comic books, things that newscasters are saying, stories that are coming out, things that are happening around the world. The glasses I use are right here, okay, and they're bifocals, amen, Old Testament, New Testament, they help me see real close, amen, help me see afar off, and so we have a watchman ministry, and we thank God for that, what I want to do this morning is be a helps ministry,
yes, Lord.
And I just want to help you this morning, and I believe everybody here stands on the King James Bible, okay. But something that's broader and deeper than that is that you stand upon the Word of God. Uh-huh. It is the foundation of your life. It is the foundation of your church. It should be the foundation of your marriage. It should be the foundation of your children's life. It should be the foundation of how you work at the workplace, whether you're in management or you're just a laborer, whatever it is that you do, that this, the words of this book should go with you when you do those things.
Uh-huh.
And it is the foundation of everything we are. And the foundations are being destroyed in this country. And I just want to help you this morning. I had came down here, was going to teach you about the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And I want to help with that too. If I get to it, I want to help with that too. It is. Amen. It is real. It is true. He is going to reign 1,000 years.
Amen.
And I may get into that. And God's trying to teach me some things about that time. And I'm enjoying my study of the Word of God. I've been studying the temple that will exist in the millennial kingdom.
Uh-huh.
And I can tell you, your eyes have not seen what God has prepared for that day. No man's eye has seen what God has prepared for that. It is beyond, I want to teach it, but right now it's beyond my ability to describe it. Okay? I'm just telling you, this Bible is amazing.
Yes, it is.
Trust not in lying words. Okay? That's what Jeremiah said. That's the NIV and the New American Standard Bible and the Message Bible and the Living Bible and the New Living Translation and the Holman Standard Bible and the New King James Bible. Brother Reg Kelly came down here several years ago, and he's preaching on wolves in sheep's clothing. And he said, I want to teach you something. He said, wolves in sheep's clothing are not sheep.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, the New King James Bible is not the King James Bible. They are different. They are not the same. They do not have the same origins. Okay? There was an agenda with that. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Are you there? Say amen.
Amen.
Study to show thyself approved. Verse 15. Unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I'm going to show you a neat thing with that here in just a little bit. And he says on down, verse 16, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And I could not stand here tonight or today and run down all the profanity that's moving into our churches right now. It's sickening what's going on, the profanity that's moving into our churches. Somebody sent me an email the other day, and I'll probably deal with it when I get back. It's a new slogan for, and I can't even, I'm not going to say how this church is marketing their church services in the house of God. I can't say it. That ought to tell you how bad it is. Okay? But look what happens. Look at what is the end result of the profane and vain babblings. For they will increase unto more ungodliness. And the question you have to ask is, what is the fruit of these other translations? The fruit of these other translations is more, is the increase in ungodliness in the house of God and amongst church people. Can I hear you say amen?
Amen.
Now I want you to look at verse 17. This is what got me. It says, their word. Now I like contrasts. Okay? And in fact, I wish I had an NIV Bible up here. There's not one in the pews, is there? Okay?
Do you really want one, Mike?
No. Yeah. I'll just bring it in with tongs, because the Bible says, touch not the unclean thing. I do. I like to do comparisons and contrasts, because the Bible is full of comparison and contrast. Let me give you one, and I'll probably teach on this today. Okay? Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. That is on this side here. But, there's the contrast right there. But be ye filled with the Spirit. They are not the same. When Rodney Howard Brown goes around telling everybody that they can be drunk in the Spirit of God, he's lying through his teeth. And who was it? Kenneth Hagin. I actually have a video clip of him changing the Word of God. He goes around, he's hitting everybody in the head, and they're all falling down and laying all over one another, men on top of women, in the house of God, acting like drunks. And he's saying, Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled, be drunk with the Spirit. He changed, he added the Word of God to make it go along with what he was doing inside of there. They are contrast. They are not the same. Okay? So it says, be not, and I like to just show contrast in the Bible. And I'm going to talk about, maybe if I get to it here in a little bit, about drunkenness in the church. And I read something the other night in the Bible when I was just before I went to bed the other night, and it literally made me cry. Made me cry over what's going on in our churches. But anyway, he said, their word, which is these false Bibles from false manuscripts, from men who have a satanic agenda, that's how these Bibles came about. Okay, that's how they showed up on the scene. And it is their word, but it is not the word of God. And I want you to notice something. It said, their word will eat as doth a canker.
Yeah.
That's just another way of saying cancer.
Yeah.
And I looked that word up this morning before I came over here this morning. And really, that means what you think it means. It's a tumor. It's a sickness and a disease.
Yeah.
Their word, which is the false Bibles. Brother Lonnie's got one in his hand. Boy, you got three or four of them, don't you?
Yeah, but notice they say for comparison.
Amen. Yeah. I got New International Living Version, Revised Standard Version.
There's the new.
Okay. New King James Version. And what is this one here? Contemporary English Version. I'm going to set these right here. Okay. Their word has eaten as a cancer inside the church. It has eaten inside as a cancer inside the church. I go around teaching on DNA, and I like DNA because DNA is a picture of the Bible right here. The two strands represent the Old and New Testament. And watch this. They're joined together by four base pairs that link the two strands of your DNA together. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The Old Testament is connected with the New Testament by the four Gospels.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Amen? Okay? Now watch this. When a cell is going to be created in your body, it comes from the old cell. And the old cell will take that book of DNA, which is rolled up like a scroll. Okay? And only Christ can loose the seals and open the book. Amen? And what happens is that book opens up. And when that book opens up, it's rightly divided, right down the middle, and one strand of that DNA goes into a new cell. That sounds like soul winning to me. Amen?
Yeah.
Okay? That's how, listen, if it works in here, this is the body. This is how it works. Yeah. This is how we make new members. Amen? We take the Bible, rightly divided, and we give the true and correct Word of God to a lost sinner, and they come to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're saved of incorruptible seed. Okay? It goes from here to there. Now, if this line of DNA does not get transferred correctly to the new cell will either die instantly or it will become canker. Cancer. And see what has happened in our denominations and our churches all across this country when the Word of God, when they started out with this. And they said, well, we're just going to give them this because this will be easier to read for them. Okay? So they send this one into a new convert. And I'm here to tell you, those new people, they're not born again of incorruptible seed. There's something wrong with it. And we're seeing cancer in our churches. We're seeing cancer in the high levels of our denominations. Okay? Doesn't sound like I'm helping much, but I'm trying to help. Amen? Okay? I'm trying to help. Okay, so anyway, but it said, he said, their word will eat as doth a canker. Now, I believe this Bible's in English for a reason.
Amen.
The original Greek here, you know what it says? Canker. Amen.
Amen.
It don't say anything different in English than it does in the Greek. Amen. It's just pronounced funny. Take a Bible, turn back to Joel chapter 1. Because I can take words in this old English Bible, and I can chase them down through the rest of this old English Bible and get inspiration and get wisdom from it. And I want you to follow. I teach about numbers. I teach about all these things in the Bible. And numbers are important. You ought to count things. I'm going to teach you how to count some things here in a minute. All right? I'm going to be like Leo Dye here in a little bit. I'm going to pull this tie loose.
Yeah.
All right? Amen. Leo Dye, Pentecostal in whom is no guile. Amen, Brother Leo. Todd Bentley runs around the country telling everybody that he's leading Joel's army. Joel's army is this charismatic / neo-Pentecostal group that's telling everybody that they're going to be a new breed of Christian. That God's going to come down in a hailstorm, in a rainstorm, and change them, and they're going to have new DNA and new breed. They're going to be supermen. They're going to be gods. And they call it Joel's army. He does not know what he's talking about. You study Joel's army, you'll find that the exact description of Joel's army matches perfectly with the locusts that are released out of the bottomless pit in Revelation chapter 9. You go study it out. Exact word for word description given to us in Joel. And God said it is his army, and it is his army. Because he can see, that's the thing about God playing chess with you. He controls both sides of the board. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. He controls the whole thing. So it is his army. By the way, Pharaoh was God's army man. God used Pharaoh for a reason. Amen. So watch this. He's talking about this in Joel chapter 1. And I want you to look at this. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, rulers of darkness, and four, spiritual wickedness in high places. Our fight is not with the liberals in this country. Our fight is with the spirits that are behind liberalism in this country. That's who our fight is with. Okay? And you cannot fight it in the flesh. You need four gospels on your side. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Amen? So watch this. Talking about destruction. In Joel chapter 1 verse 4. Look at there. Count things. That which the palmer worm hath left hath the locust eaten. That's what comes out of that pit in Revelation 9. That which the locust has left, the canker worm has eaten. The canker worm This word canker is linked to what Paul was telling Timothy, is that their word doth eat like a canker. And you know what he was telling him? With the false Bibles comes another spirit. That is not the Holy Spirit of God. Okay? It is not the Holy Spirit of God. It can't be. Because the Spirit of God will, Jesus himself taught us that when the Comforter comes, he will not speak of himself, but he will speak of me, Jesus. Well, here is Jesus right here. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Holy Ghost of God will speak only of what's in this book. Okay? And so you got these guys coming into their churches with another word. And so it is not the Spirit of God that is blessing the churches.
Right.
It is the canker and the canker worm that is coming to eat up the churches and destroy them.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Everybody, I know Brother Leo's with me. I can hear him. Okay? I'm just trying to help you. But anyway, the canker worm, that whatever the canker worm hath left, hath the caterpillar eaten. And he says, awake ye drunkards. And God woke me up one day out of spiritual drunkenness. And I'm going to show you, in the Bible where that comes from. But anyway, and their word will eat as doth the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. So they'll teach you, Brother Lonnie, in Bible college. They'll say, now you can use this one or you can use this one. In fact, let me pull this one out here. This is the parallel Bible. You can lay out 3-4 different translations out in front of you so you can really get an idea of what God is saying. Okay? Because what they'll tell you is, really, there's errors in all the Bibles.
Yeah, that's what they say.
And then,
that's right.
Who concerning the truth have erred. Concerning this, they tell you there's errors in here.
Yeah, they do.
So the cankerworm spirit comes in to your life, like it did mine, it starts eating away.
That's good preaching, Brother Mike.
Okay? It starts eating away at the stability of our denomination, Brother Charlie. Starts eating away at the foundation, goes after the roots, goes after the leaves and the fruit, and it's not going to leave anything left. Okay? Because there's errors. They say there's errors in the Bible. I say there's not. I say that every word of God is pure. Amen?
It is.
It's pure. It's good. It's good. I'm going to do some... Let's count things. Let's have some fun, all right? Genesis chapter 2. Turn there. Who in here can count? I know this is Arkansas, but come on. Yeah, that's right. I was born in Pine Bluff, but I learned how to count in Missouri. Amen. Yeah, in Festus. I want to show you how right this Bible is. Okay, two places in the Bible: Revelation 13:18. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count. Okay, numbers mean something. If you don't believe that, then why did the Bible go out of its way to tell you that David picked up 5 stones when he only used 1? There's a reason for it, okay? Anyway, let's look at verse 16. And I'm going to give you just a few minutes here to count. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying... Now, start right there with the word of. Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die. I want you to count those words. Go. First person done gets a video off the table. How many?
39.
Count again. Put this Bible down and get this one, all right? 39. Count them again. 39. 39? 39? Going once? Twice? That's the law right here. This was the first, this was the law that God laid in the Garden of Eden. How many books are there in the law? 39. It matches, doesn't it? And see, they told us in Bible college, now the verses and the chapters in the book, or that doesn't really mean anything. Yes, it does.
Yes, it does.
Because this was God's word from before the foundation of the world. And he's had his providence guiding it all this time. So we see here the 39 words that was the law spoken to Adam. One law, 39 words that he could not break and he could not contradict. But he did. So therefore he needs a Savior. Somebody say amen. So the Bible says, rightly he said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, and I've heard a lot of sermons on that, a lot of teachings on that. A lot of guys want to say, well, no, you're not rightly dividing and this and that and the other. Did it not occur to anybody that God would have already rightly divided his own book? How much of this did he leave up to us? Zero. Amen. So, I like this, okay? But you already have it naturally divided in, because the number for division is two. So we have Old Testament and New Testament. See how easy that is? It is already rightly divided. Okay? I love this. Take your Bible, turn to Psalm 91. I asked a question here a while back in a Bible study I did online. The question was, does God have feathers? Does God have feathers? And I read something, you know, in the Bible a while back, and it's talking about, you know, does God have wings and stuff? And I'm going, what in the world? You know? And then it hit me. God's got wings. Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I what?
Trust.
Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his what? And under his wings shalt thou trust. Now I showed this the other night. I not only like how God wrote the Bible, I like how he made it. By the way, does God have feathers? Yes. When Jesus came up out of the water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him how? And a dove has feathers and wings. It's the Holy Ghost of God. And through the pages of the rightly divided Word of God. By the way, you ever watch doves fly? You ever watch birds fly? They can't do it with one wing. You cannot be a biblical church and only preach out of the New Testament or only preach out of the law of the Old Testament. Can't do it. The two have to work together. They that wait upon the Lord, their strength, and they shall what? As put your trust under the wings and the feathers of the Holy Ghost of God through the pages of the Bible. Amen. All right, now turn to the middle chapter of the Bible. We're going to rightly divide it again. See, it just never occurred to us that God would have already rightly divided the word of truth. Your body is rightly divided. You have two eyes, two ears. You have two lungs. That's the Spirit of God. Okay, the breath of the Holy Spirit. You have two arms in symmetry. You have two legs. Okay, that help us to stand. And they help us to walk. They help us to run when we read it. Okay? They help us, and we are rightly divided. And yet, here's the interesting thing, is that we have the Old Testament and the New Testament, but one is stronger than the other. I'm right-handed.
Yeah. Amen.
Okay? And all you lefties need to get right or you get left. Amen? No, I'm just kidding. But one in the Bible is strong. See, the Old Testament, the law is weak, the Bible says. Okay? The New Testament is the strength of God. And by the way, that's what the right hand represents. Where is the book with God? It's in his right hand. Where is Jesus? It's at the right hand of God. So it just shows you the symmetry of the human body. Now, these right hand, left hand, left leg, right leg, and everything is joined together in your body by a spine, which hopefully some of you preachers have, but I know some don't. Okay? Amen? Amen. Okay? Grow one. It'll help you. Okay? The spine is what holds everything together. Now, here's a book. What is this part here called? The spine. This is what is holding the two portions of the Word of God together. Okay? Now, your spine has 33 bones in it. Think of someone in the Bible that was 33. Okay? Now, look at Psalm 117 and count the words of these two verses. Rightly dividing. This is the middle chapter of the Bible. There are 1,189 chapters in the Bible. That's an odd number. So you'll have an even portion on one side, an even portion on another, and you have the odd one in the middle. Okay, how many words do you have in the two verses of Psalm 117? 33. It says, "Oh, praise the Lord, all you nations, praise him, all you people, for his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth, which is rightly divided, of the Lord endureth for how long?"
Ever.
Now I'm going to teach you a little bit about bibliology. Bibliology 101. What you're supposed to believe about the Bible may be in contradiction to what you have been taught about the Bible.
That's right.
Okay? And I'm just going to go line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little and there a little. Let's do this. Let's deal with, I'm going to deal with inspiration. Y'all believe that, right?
Amen.
Preservation.
Amen.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Translation.
Uh-huh.
There's a couple of you.
Good.
Yeah. 2 Timothy 3:16. Charge. Underline these and just put it next to it there. This is the inspiration of the Bible. 2 Timothy 3. I like them 3:16 verses. Amen. The chapter and verse divisions are helps. They are helps. That's a helps ministry that God gives to us to help us identify places in the Bible. God did not leave it up to us. He did not leave it up to the scholars and the theologians in the seminaries. He did not leave that up to them. We are the priesthood of the believers.
Yes, yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, that's who we are. We have an equal status when it comes to the blood of Jesus Christ as born-again Christians.
Yes.
Just because I'm a preacher does not mean snap when it comes to understanding the Bible.
That's right.
And you got to be careful about that. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans and the deeds of the Nicolaitans is rampant everywhere.
That's true.
And that is the clergy telling you what to believe and what you shouldn't believe. And they will tell you that in a lot of cases, they will tell you that in contradiction to the chief apostle right here.
That's right.
And the bishop of our souls.
Oh, yeah.
They will tell you that in contradiction to that. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's what the Bible says.
Uh-huh.
Okay? Now there's a word in here that I'm going to draw your attention to here in a little bit. But it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I had one of these Latter-day Apostles tell me that not everything that God does today is in the Bible. He is in biblical error.
That's right.
Because it says all good works.
Uh-huh.
If there's anything that God is going to work in our lives, it's going to work through here.
That's right.
If there's anything
That's
that the Holy
right.
Ghost is going to do in our churches, it's going to be done through here.
Yes,
and it's going
to
be done the right way.
Yes.
So that Assembly of God church I went to when I was back in my early 30s, and I was hungry, and I didn't know what I was looking for, Brother Craig. And I thought, I went down to the front, and they come by, and there was a woman behind me going, bah, 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 just exactly like that. The Holy Ghost of God was saying, that's not in the Bible, Mike. It's not in the Bible. What she's doing is not in the Bible. And they come around there and laid their hand on my forehead, and I didn't fall backward. So they walked the line and come back and did it again. And I didn't fall backward. And God said, get out of here. I got better things for you. And God had every right to turn me over to that. He had every right to. But he didn't. And I'm thankful. Okay? All good works will come through this book.
Yes,
it is the guidebook for everything. Yes. You farmers, can you do you think you can plant by this book?
Yes, sir.
God said he gave the sun, moon, and the stars as signs, seasons, days, and years.
Yeah.
And every one of you old farmers know the signs and the seasons and the days and years on how to farm. God will teach you everything out of this book. Amen?
Yeah.
And our country used to believe that.
That's right. That's
we don't believe it anymore. Okay? The method of transmission. Jeremiah chapter 1. If you don't want to turn there, let me kind of run through this very quickly. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1. The Bible says, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in Anathoth in the land of Benjamin. So some of these guys would tell you, see, these are the words of men. But the Bible says, to whom the word of the Lord came. Okay? In the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. Then the Lord put forth his hand, okay, right hand, touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth.
Yes.
That was the method of transmission. Okay? These guys didn't go into a trance and take a Ouija board and go. Like that. God took his words, put them in their mouth. They not only spoke the words, they wrote them down. That's very, very important. Because you got people running around everywhere telling you, oh, I got a word from the Lord. I got a word of prophecy. I got a word of knowledge for you. Okay? And let me tell you something. And I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe in the word of wisdom. There is no greater word of wisdom than this book right here. I believe in the word of knowledge. There is no greater knowledge than in this book right here. I believe in a word of prophecy. Give me a word of prophecy. I believe there's no greater word of prophecy than right here. I believe in dreams and visions. Here's your dreams and here's your visions right here. Okay? I believe in healing. He sent his word and healed them.
Yes.
I believe in tongues and the interpretation of tongues. I'm going to show you that in a minute. I'm going to show it to you.
Yeah.
Where am I going to show it to you from?
Yeah.
Okay. Exodus chapter 4, verse 15. Guess what he said. And thou shalt speak unto him, put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth and with his mouth, and he will teach you what ye shall do.
Yes.
God's words in the mouths of his prophets. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. I already get my clicker, so your Bible just turned to it right away. He humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Oh, by the way, can I exit it? I'm in the wrong place. Anyway, I'm getting excited here. Which thou knewest not, neither did the fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only. In fact, I do want you to turn there. I got something real important to share with you. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. Charge. And I'm going to get a drink of water here. And I hope this ain't the water Mike Hutzel drank out of this last night. Because I don't want to become short by drinking after him. I love you, Mike. I hope he listens to this.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And I want you to notice in your King James Bible, it says that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every what?
Word.
Does your Bible have that word in italics?
Yes.
Now see, they teach you, Brother Duane, when you get in Bible college, the italicized words were not in the original manuscripts. Okay? And the translators grabbed something out of the air that sounded good, and put it in there to kind of make it, okay? But really, there's no way that we can believe these italicized words would be the inspired word of God. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Turn there. Go ahead. Don't sit there and stare at me. Turn there. You want me to help you?
Yeah.
I'm going to help you. Now, I'm not helping you win your arguments. Okay?
Right.
I can't help you win your arguments. Don't get in them. Don't get in them. Nobody argued with me and convinced me that the King James was the word of God. I was in rebellion, and I wouldn't believe them.
That's a good point, brother.
I wouldn't believe them.
That's right.
Because I knew both sides of the arguments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay? Don't tell me about how this matches the manuscripts, because we don't have the original manuscripts. Okay? And I'll teach you that in a little bit. I'm not helping you win the argument with your friends, your family, your pastor, or whoever. I'm just helping you get it settled in your mind that this is right. You believe the right thing.
Yeah.
You're standing on the right foundation. Because there is a storm coming.
Yes, there is.
There is a hailstorm coming. And God said to Ezekiel, he said, the hail's going to come down. And said, they've built the walls with untempered mortar, saying things that I did not say. And he said, when it comes crashing down, it's going to destroy the walls that they built, and it's going to discover the foundations.
Yeah.
And the foundations of these churches are about to be discovered. And I'll say this, you can sit here, nod your head, and amen me all you want to. The foundation of your life is about to be discovered.
Yes.
God won't let you slide while he does it to everybody else. It wouldn't be fair. Okay? Matthew chapter 4. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every what?
Word.
Is that word in italics?
No.
It's because it's inspired. Jesus said it.
Amen?
So believe every word in this Bible. Believe every one of them. Okay? Every word of God is pure, the Bible says. Does that help you? Amen. Isaiah 51:16, I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, that I may plant the heavens and lay the foundations of the earth, saying unto Zion, thou art my people. Acts chapter 15, verse 7, I'm just showing you the method of transmission. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So God had prophesied it. God had planted it into Peter's heart. Peter, who was not even the apostle to the Gentiles. God was using him to put the gospel in his mouth so that he could speak it. Now, at that time, the gospel had not been written. So it came through their mouth, and then Peter wrote 1st and 2nd Peter. Paul wrote his 14 letters. John wrote his 5 books. And Mark wrote his. And Matthew wrote his. And Luke wrote his. Okay. And James and Jude, these other guys, they wrote down and faithfully transmitted what God had put into their mouth.
Yeah.
That is Bible inspiration. Yeah. That is the doctrine that you and I must believe.
Amen.
I heard a lot of other doctrines, but this is the Bible one. Amen?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now, let's see here. Oh, Revelation chapter 2. Turn there. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write. Write it. Okay. That is in contradiction to oral tradition or in the Masonic Lodge. I'll come over to you and you'll be an initiated into the Masonic Lodge. And I'll come over here and I'll say, don't tell anybody or we'll slit your throat from ear to ear, cut you open and lay your bowels out and burn them with ashes and scatter them to the four winds. If you ever tell what I just told you, that is the Masonic Lodge. By the way, I said Jabulon, because Jesus said, what I speak into your ear, proclaim from the rooftops. No secrets. No secrets. Okay? So, and by the way, that Bible, okay, I asked God to show me the secret of Freemasonry. Okay? I read their books. I read Morals and Dogma. I didn't get it. I read Manly Hall's The Secret Teachings of All Ages. I could go right now to Washington, D.C. to the House of the Lodge Temple. They have a multi-thousand volume library there. I thought that only high-ranking Masons could go in there and see the books. They'll let anybody in there. Yeah. You want to go with me? They'll let you go in and read every book they got in there. You know why? Because nobody wrote their secret down except God. Because God reveals the deep and the secret things. So now it's different. If I stand before a church, if I go to Brother John's church and I say, God revealed to me the secret of Freemasonry. Lo, I was in the spirit and a voice came down from heaven and told me this. You may or may not believe that. But if I show it to you there out of the book of Daniel,
there you go.
You'll believe it. You should believe it. Because that's where it is.
Yeah.
Okay? God wrote it down. You own property? Okay? Is the property that you own, the title to it, the proof of ownership, was that just told to you by whoever said, ah, you got 40 acres over here, it's yours. Or yearn. Okay? I know where I'm at. Amen? What do you got to show us that's your land? You mean it's written down. You're looking at the deed to the inheritance of Israel. Written down.
Yeah.
You don't read, you don't believe that? Read Jeremiah 32. Okay?
Amen.
It's there. So anyway, he said unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write, these things hath he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand. Look at verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Yeah.
The Spirit said it. John wrote it down.
Amen.
So watch this. These latter-day apostles and prophets running around everywhere telling everybody that God showed it to me in a vision last night and told me this. I listened to about 15 minutes of Kenneth Copeland the other day. Somebody sent me a CD. And you know what it was full of? In 15 minutes' time, it was full of, the Holy Ghost told me this, and God told me this, and the Spirit showed me this. And God, he never quoted Scripture, but what he always told, what God told him secretly in his private chamber. He's a liar. And he can be proven a liar by opening up the truth.
Amen?
So it's inspired, and it's written.
Yes, it is.
Just trying to help you out now. Okay? Now, help you some more? Turn to 1 Kings chapter 22.